Welcome back to another exciting episode of the podcast. This is Divinal Intervention, and today we're going to talk about collaborations with one Robert Fripp on an episode that we're calling Fripp and Friends. So those who are familiar with Robert Fripp, bear with me for a second. Those who don't know as much about him, just by way of background, he started in 1969 with a band called King Crimson, with their album In the Court of the Crimson King. And as an aside, one day we're going to do a King Crimson episode, because I do want to address kind of the many faces or phases of King Crimson and leave it up to you all to decide which of those iterations of King Crimson is your favorite or least favorite, as the case may be. And we're also thinking about doing something similar with Pink Floyd, kind of covering the evolution of that band from the late 60s through the late 70s. But back to Robert Fripp. As a guitar player, has comfort in a lot of different styles of music, very flexible, oftentimes shows off good speed and technique. But I think that a big part of what makes Fripp Fripp is his embrace of technology and different ways of making noises with his guitar and with, of course, effects pedals and amplifiers and whatnot. And also very good at layering sounds when he's in production, whether these are his own solo albums or whether he's working with a band, including King Crimson. There's a layering level that he embraces that I think sets him apart from many of his contemporaries. But I find Fripp to be a real central character in the history of rock music in its many forms. And again, it's really hard to define rock music. I don't want to be the one to do that, but I think it embraces a lot of kind of ancillary styles of music that have rock elements, or even that rock music has since embraced as an element to become part of rock. So I think Fripp, again, is a central figure to that. And I don't know that that's really disputable at this point. And in that sense, he's very much like Brian Eno. You know, two very unique personalities, ambitious in the sense of doing a lot of work, constantly on the move, constantly putting out new product, a voracious appetite for different sounds, different styles of music, and working with other people. They really are the ultimate collaborators. So it really does make sense that they would collaborate together early on, and actually quite often over the years. So it seems appropriate for us to start the Fripp and Friends episode with a collaboration with Brian Eno. So from their 1975 album, Fripp and Eno, Evening Star, here is Evening Star.
Thank you.
Now, for those of a certain age, the early days of the internet had a feature or a website that was 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And I think even those who were not around at the time have since heard about it and heard the idea of plugging in Kevin Bacon's name and finding that he was connected to everyone else in Hollywood by no more than 6 degrees of relationship or separation. And it was kind of funny. Around that same time, I tried to think, who would that figure be in music? You know, who would be the Kevin Bacon of music? And actually, Robert Fripp was one of the first people that I grabbed onto as possibly that person. Because again, given the amount of collaborations he's done, given his involvement with a lot of different kinds of music, he really did seem like the hub of the wheel, with all the spokes emanating out of Robert Fripp, and by extension, King Crimson. But interestingly, I ultimately mapped it all out and in a strange way found that Brian Eno really was a more appropriate figure for that. And I say that because Eno gets you the same artists as Fripp, primarily. But then Eno gets people that Fripp doesn't. You know, he was in playing in fields a little bit different than Fripp. So the people that Fripp worked with, Eno also worked with. Not necessarily at the same time, but ultimately. But there were times where Eno stretched out in directions that Fripp just did not. And so ultimately, mine is 6 degrees of Brian Eno. Now, I could be convinced otherwise. I mean, either about Fripp or someone else. But I would be hard to convince that it isn't either Fripp or Eno. But again, feel free to share who you think the central figure in kind of, you know, again, from, say, the mid-60s through the current time, who would be a central figure in rock music, the Kevin Bacon of music, if you will. So back to Fripp and Eno. A few years after Evening Star in 1979, they get together again for some sessions that are ultimately not released, but that result in something that gets shared with us on the Essential Fripp and Eno album, which is a compilation that came out several years after this work. So 1979, here is a song from a suite of songs called Healthy Colors. This is Healthy Colors, Volume 4. Brian Eno, Robert Fripp.
Insults are fine. They just breathe deeply. And you wallow around in the insults and pass them along. That's fine. But a compliment, particularly a compliment from ourselves to ourselves, that's wrong, don't you see? Sweden, Denmark, West Germany, very vigorous democracy, France, Britain, Ireland, Israel, New Zealand, Australia, Japan. I haven't been to all those places, but they are all democracies. And by an odd coincidence, the people in those democracies live not just much better, but embarrassingly much better than in the dictatorships.
So this is a significantly different sound for them, you know, from Evening Star and some of the other things they were doing, like the No Pussyfooting release as well, from, I believe it's 1973. But so again, in 1979, we see them stretching out in a different direction. And this song kind of presages Eno's later collaboration in 1981 with David Byrne from the Talking Heads. And that's My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, which, if you've never heard, is definitely something worth looking into. My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, 1981, David Byrne and Brian Eno. But also Eno, at that time, was producing the Talking Heads album Remain in Light in 1980. So in this Healthy Colors collaboration, we start to see Eno moving in that direction and kind of taking what he and Fripp were doing and building on it with David Byrne. And speaking of David Byrne, Fripp ultimately collaborates with David Byrne in 1981 on his God Save the Queen solo album. That is Fripp's album. And so here's a song called Under Heavy Manners. So there it is, a song about all of the isms, Under Heavy Manners. Yeah, Fripp and Byrne, if you believe kind of what you read sometimes from people in the know, not the easiest personalities to get along with. And it's interesting that Fripp fits this, again, purportedly, because, again, he's openly collaborating with a lot of folks. And I don't know that I've ever heard from those artists that he was difficult to work with. But again, it's kind of in the ether there. Which reminds me again of, let's go back to the early days of the internet again. And one of the websites that was very early developed was a King Crimson website. And I believe it was functionally an official website for King Crimson, but there were, you know, chat rooms and different aspects of it that I don't know that the band had complete control over. And it was just funny because one of the recurring themes in that were people writing in, giving their examples of times where they met Robert Fripp in person out in public, and he really was not the most welcoming or kind person to them, which again I kind of chalk up to a man who just really likes his privacy and who really puts out his art for art's sake, and he doesn't really buy into the celebrity aspects of it. But that may or may not be true. I just thought it was very funny because eventually the website made it clear that they just didn't need any more stories about the irascible Robert Fripp out in public. So again, take that for what it is. Mostly rumor and just people having some fun. All right, back to the collaborations. Let's talk music, which is what this is really supposed to be about. Now, this next collaboration, I think, was a bit unexpected at the time, but it really does make a lot of sense in hindsight, when you look at it in hindsight. The Police had just released Ghost in the Machine and were entering into really the peak of their popularity. So, you know, what better time for someone in the band to look for a side project? But that's actually precisely what Andy Summers did when he teamed up with Fripp in 1982 for an album called I Advance Masked. Results so nice, they did it twice. Because 2 years later, again, Andy Summers is working on Synchronicity. Synchronicity's out, a monster album. Lengthy tour ensues, but nonetheless, Andy makes time to meet up with Fripp again for the album Bewitched. And this is from Bewitched. ¶¶ Now, if you're a loyal listener to the podcast, or if you just happen to luck out when you listen to just one single episode, you may have heard our deep dive into the work of bassist Mick Karn from the band Japan. Now, in that episode, we covered Fripp's next collaborator, and that is David Sylvian, who was, of course, the vocalist for Japan with Mick Karn, but also later appeared on some of his solo albums. And again, we featured some of the work from Japan, but also some of the solo work of Mick Karn, which also featured David Sylvian. So here's Fripp with David Sylvian, who they've had a number of joint releases, and it all started with this one, 1986, an album called Gone to Earth. Here's the opening track from that one, Taking the Veil. One more from Fripp and David Sylvian, again from the album Gone to Earth, 1986. Here's a song called Wave.
Thank you. seems that I remember I dreamed a thousand dreams. We'd face the days together no matter what they bring. The strength inside like I'd never known. Open the door to life, let it go. This sun may shine forever upon the back of love, a kingdom raised from ashes and held within your arms. Shelter there, never leave. I'll run to you, nothing stands between us now. Inside can never die. Another world just made the two. I swim the seas inside with you, like the waves without a sound. I'll never let you down.
Now, given how frequently Fripp was involved with R&B and pop music, it makes perfect sense that he would also work with Daryl Hall, he of Hall & Oates. Now, I'm joking, of course, but not about the collaboration with Daryl Hall, just about Fripp's involvement with R&B music. Anyway, 1979, Fripp's debut solo album called Exposure brings in Daryl Hall, among others, which we'll talk about in a minute. But here is Daryl Hall with Robert Fripp on a song called North Star.
Lean on the wind.
Now, to my ears, this really sounds a lot like the Adrian Belew era King Crimson, and particularly the album Beat, which King Crimson released in 1982. So, again, you can kind of feel Fripp moving in this direction, and then he later collaborates with, again, Adrian Belew and Tony Levin in that early 80s iteration of King Crimson. And I think that song North Star really puts you in that same place a little bit earlier than Crimson got there. So as I mentioned, on his solo debut, Exposure, Fripp also had some other guest contributors, and one of those was Peter Gabriel. And this one's a cover by Gabriel of his very own song from 2 years prior. So 1977 album, Peter Gabriel, him sitting in the front seat of a sedan in the rain, which again, you got to clarify because Peter Gabriel's first four albums are all called Peter Gabriel. So anyway, 1977, Peter Gabriel's solo debut. On there is a song called Here Comes the Flood, which Robert Fripp also played on. But in 1979, Fripp is sitting in the producer's seat and is also playing along in his own solo debut. And the result is very different, a very different version of this great song. So here is Robert Fripp and Peter Gabriel revisiting Here Comes the Flood in 1979.
And so on. These things, they say, will happen according to scientific theories in about 40 years at the most, but maybe even quicker.
Shows the signals grow on radios. All the strange things they come and go as early warnings. Stranded starfish have no place to hide. Still waiting for the swollen Easter tide. There's no point in direction we cannot even choose a side. I took the old track, the hollow shoulder across the waters. On the tall cliffs, they were getting older, sons and daughters. The jaded underworld was riding high. And waves of steel hurled metal at the sky. And as the nails sunk in the cloud, the rain was warm and soaked in the crowd. Silent in any still alive. It'll be those who gave their island to survive. Drink up, dreamers, you're running dry. When the flood calls, you have no home, you have no walls. In the thunder crash, you're a thousand minds within a flash. Don't be afraid to cry of what you see. The actor's gone, there's only you and me.
And it would help to maybe go back and give a listen to that 1977 version. Again, you know, Fripp plays on it, but a very stripped down and much more minimalist version here on his own album. You know, you still have what they call Frippertronics, right? His guitar effects and his echo effects, but they're also much more subtle on this one, giving plenty of room for Gabriel's voice and the solo piano. So again, just a very interesting contrast, and interesting that Peter Gabriel would re-record his own song so soon after it had come out. And again, as I reflect on it, this version of Here Comes the Flood is really kind of Eno-esque, right? There's a Brian Eno feel to it in sometimes spare production, but there's always something going on in the background. Again, there's a subtlety to it that I think both Fripp and Eno have tapped into, which I guess ultimately brings us full circle, right? We started with Fripp and Eno. We end with Eno, I think, influencing Fripp's production. And so that brings us full circle, but also brings us, I think, to the end of this musical journey with Robert Fripp and his many friends. So thanks for listening. We will be out with another episode soon enough. And in the meantime, go back and listen to some of the prior episodes if you've not heard them before. Divinyl Intervention, the podcast. Have a good one.